This morning we are going to be looking at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read the first 16 verses of this passage. And don't worry, we'll get out before dinner tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Shall we pray? Oh, Father in heaven, we praise your holy and majestic name. Thank you for the faith and salvation you've given to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and how you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit. As we continue to worship you now through the reading and teaching of your word, continue to keep the evil one from us. Help us to focus on you and your word. You have a message for every one of us here today. Teach us by your Holy Spirit, that your children would be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged, and their depth of knowledge in you would grow. And for those here today who do not know Jesus as Savior, that you would reveal your love, your grace and mercy to them in Christ, bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, where they would confess their sin to you and repent and ask for forgiveness, and you will forgive them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. May you be honored in our hearts and in our minds in this time of worship. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word. Philippians 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Amen. You may be seated. Well, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you remember the good old days? Do you ever remember the good old days and think how great those good old days were? You just wish you had them back, don't you? What does the Bible say about the good old days? Turn to Ecclesiastes. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 7:10. In case you haven't noticed Ecclesiastes lately, it's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. In the Pew Bible, it's 556. This is what God said through the preacher concerning the good old days in Ecclesiastes 7:10. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Uh-oh. We always long for the good old days. And biblically speaking, we should not long for the good old days. And when we long for the good old days, we're not speaking from wisdom. That is wisdom of God. And why is that so? Because we're not dealing with the reality of life that we're living right now. We want to escape the reality of life. And we want to go back to the days that we thought were the good old days. Well, let's reflect on those good old days. What were you and I like in the good old days? We were pagans. Nobody's born a Christian. So we were pagans. We were without Christ. You want to go back to that? You want to long for those good old days? There was disappointment, there was hurt, there was suffering, there was diseases, there was death. Just like there is today. But there's a major difference in the good old days and today. That major difference comes if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. So as a believer in Christ, when we long for the good old days, we're longing for the old pagan ways. And that's not from the wisdom of God. And this is what Paul describes about his life in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Look at that testimony. He was a perfect pagan, obeying the law of God, a Pharisee, a zealous for the law of God, persecuting the church, having his own righteousness. And what does he say about all that? I count it as rubbish. As loss for Christ, whatever was a gain for me. We should never long for the good old days. So what should we long for? There's a longing in the heart of every human being. We all have it. But what are we longing for? I hope it's not the good old days. So what do we long for? Now let's go back to Philippians. Go back to Philippians chapter 3 and let's see what Paul longed for. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. And in writing to the believers in Philippians there at Philippi, he shares with them what he longed for. And as you and I begin this last 6 weeks of our lives in this year of 2018, and we're looking into 2019. What are you and I longing for? What are you and I longing for as we move through life? And you know what? There are not any brake pads on life. We're going through it whether we want to or not. So what are we longing for? What do you and I want out of life? Look what Paul, when he became a believer and the Holy Spirit worked in his life, look why the Holy Spirit changed his heart, changed what to long for. Now, let's pick it up in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. Okay, so he's admitting once he was perfect, at least he thought he was perfect and he had everything worked out, he became a believer in Christ and he realized what a sinful individual he was, how imperfect he was, and he's saying, now that I've become a believer, I'm still not there. I am still not perfect. I've got a long way to go in being conformed to the image of Christ. Regardless of what age you are here today, you and I still have a long way to go to reach perfection. And we will not reach it on this side. We won't reach that holy perfection until we're with the Lord. And only to that time. But what are we longing for while we're here? That's the thing that you and I need to evaluate our hearts spiritually. What am I longing for? That is so important biblically and as a believer. Now, look what he says in the latter part of verse 12. But I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. I press on. The word, the verb to press on there means to go after with intent. To go after with intent. I'm going to get this if it kills me. I'm going to get it. What kind of pressing on do you and I have today to possess something in our heart that is spiritually good for us? What am I pressing on in life? What motivates me to make me go forward? And am I pressing on to reach it? Some people are just happy just to... This morning when I was coming to church, I was coming down Rocky Ridge, and I'm doing the speed limit. I'm slowing down the older I get, and I'm doing speed limit. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and this car's on my bumper, and I didn't get angry. That was a miracle in itself. But you know what my thought was? Hey, buddy, what's your rush? And so the next thing I know, vroom, he passes me. And I must admit in the flesh, okay, Vestavia, where are you now? Where's the police now? So I just meander on down Rocky Ridge. Oh, I was having the best time of praying and just thinking. I remember living like that at one time. Always beating it. Gotta have it now. And now I'm just on cruise control. I'd rather be on cruise than beating it. So I get up to Rocky Ridge in 280, and guess who's sitting at the light? And I ease around the corner with him and go on down 280. He didn't get there any faster than I. But I guarantee you my trip was a lot more peaceful and focused on Christ than his. What are you longing for? Do you have the intent to be after Christ as you do to be after everything of this world? And what is Paul pressing for? Look at the last sentence in this verse. Look at this in verse 12. I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ has made me His own. And you know what that is? It means Christ has called us out of the life of sin and death and given us real life and love and peace and joy, which are the next three sermons in Advent. And we'll look at that. But it's like having somebody come up and just hug you and give you peace and security and confidence in who you are. And that's what Paul is like. He's hugging Christ back. This is why you have me in your arms, Lord. And I want you in my arms. And I'm going to pursue you for the rest of my life. That's what it's about. I don't want the good old days.
Oh, they were good memories. Yes, we had some good times. But I want the days where Christ has me now. And I want to be pressing on and holding on to Him as much as I can as I finish this year and go into the next year and all that God has for me and my family in that year. Don't hold on to the past. We must move on, holding on to Christ. Now, look at verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, I haven't accomplished this yet. I'm not there. But one thing I'm going to do. And he's centered, he's focused on Christ. And as he's centered and focused on Christ, look what he's looking at. Forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. Now, forgetting means to put it out of your mind. What am I supposed to put out of my mind? I've been thinking about this a lot here lately. It's good to keep things in our minds of what God has done in our lives. We need to keep those precious works of Christ in us, in our hearts and minds. He's done a work in you and me. He's doing a work in you and me. And we never want to forget that. Never. But on the other side of the coin, remember the good old days. We don't want to live in the past. Because if you and I live in the past, we don't have a present and we lose the future. We have no future. So, we forget those days in the past. We remember what God did in and through us in the past. And we see Him working in us today. And we know He's not going to stop working on us until He calls us home. And so, this is what we press forward. Look here in 13 where Paul says, forgetting what is lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. We're straining forward. This is the same verb, pressing. Just a different word in there, the synonyms. Are you and I straining forward? With excitement, look what God has done for me, in me, through me in the past. Look what He's doing now. Oh my goodness, what is He going to do for me in the future? I don't know. I don't have a clue. But when I get there, and if I see you, I'll tell you. But I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to what God is going to do in me and my family and you in the future. But the question is, brothers and sisters, what am I hanging on to? Am I hanging on to the past? Or am I going to be holding on to Christ and seeing where we're going in the future? You know what my greatest fear used to be? Riding a bicycle built for two and being on the back seat. Being on the back seat. That's scary. When I was in the Air Force working on A-37s, we had a baseball team our squadron sponsored. There were three of us coaching it. And the commander came to us and said, if you guys win the base championship, I'll see you get a flight in one of our aircraft. We won it. And then I had to get into that aircraft with that pilot. And I thought, what have I done? He said, let's make a couple of rocket passes at that intersection down there. Really? We were gone. He said, here, you fly. He said, bank right. Well, on the ground, when you have a stick and there's no wind coming over it, that stick is hard to move. He said, bank right. Bank back. He said, you don't move it that fast. I said, no joke. But he was sitting next to me. And I told him, he better fly this thing. Jesus is flying you. Are you willing to fly where He wants to take you? And do you trust Him in where He's taking you? Are you hanging on to Christ with the intent of following Him and Him alone? That's what it's all about. Now, look what Paul is saying in verse 14. He says in 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's the upward call. It's not the lateral call. It's not the back call. It's the upward call. And the word call means an authoritative invitation to participate. An authoritative invitation. In other words, you're not going to turn it down. And when I called you, you will participate. Doesn't say whether you like it or not, whether you want to or not. That's the kind of call God has on each of us. And it's always upward, looking at Him, following Him, where He wants us to go. And you know what? You and I are going to go. And depending on our stubbornness and our disobedience will determine how authoritative God will get in your life to subdue you. We always say about getting hit with a 2x4. God hit me with a 2x10. And He broke me many years ago. And now I can hear Him reaching for it. He doesn't have to hit me anymore. Because I can hear Him reaching for it. And I say, yes, sir, I'm sorry for my stubborn disobedience to You. I will participate. I will follow. I will obey the best I possibly can. Knowing I still got a sinful nature in me. Knowing there are times I don't want to press. I don't want to go with intent. And God changes that heart. But it's with the upward call. Now, look at verse 15. Look what he says in verse 15. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Let those who are mature. This means spiritually developing. Developing spiritually. We call it growing spiritually. Maturing spiritually. How do we grow and mature spiritually? First of all, it's experiences in life. You know, we've learned a lot in our lives through education, through relationships, through experiences. And the ones we learn the most from is when we experience it. I remember sitting in class, taking a course and wondering, what the heck am I taking this for? I'm never going to use it. But God doesn't teach us that way. Every experience He puts you and me through is for a purpose. And it's to mature us spiritually. To mature us spiritually. God uses life to mature us spiritually. To cause us to have more confidence in Him and less confidence in myself. I remember sitting in a Greek class at Sanford in my undergraduate work. And Dr. Davidson was my professor. Wise man. And this guy came in bragging one day, Dr. Davidson, I'm going to get my degree in Greek and I'm going to teach.
And Dr. Davidson just sat at his desk and he said, "You know, Mr. So-and-so, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And you can take your Greek degree, hang it on the filling station in the where you will be working as a grease monkey and keep working." God teaches us through life. And there's where we learn. The next thing He teaches us is Scripture. Holy Scripture. My concern is preaching is becoming a storytelling time. You hear more stories than you do the teaching of Scripture. I'm fearful that the expository teaching of the Word of God is lessening. It's one thing to read the Bible and put it down and tell a bunch of stories. You need the Word of God. I need the Word of God. And I'm hearing more and more stories which pastors are not teaching the Scripture. Watch it. Watch it. You want to be taught the Word of God in Sunday school, in worship, and Bible studies. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Second Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 3. As Paul is charging Timothy, a young pastor, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." That is the primary responsibility of the pastor. And everything he does in that week is primarily spent on preparation. Where he comes in here of a morning and of a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and any Bible studies he teaches, and he is prepared because he set aside the time to do it. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of prayer. And you do the work to free him up to do it. Now, look at verse 3. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." 2018, we're there. We are there. Brothers and sisters, be wise and discerning of what you've been fed from me and anybody else in this pulpit. Be wise and be aware. He is to teach the Word of God. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Look at the middle of verse 15. "Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you." And how is He going to reveal it to you? By the Holy Spirit. He will reveal it by the Holy Spirit. Then when He reveals that to you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Verse 16. "Only let us hold true to what we have attained." What you have been taught by godly pastors,
teaching the Word of God. The Spirit of God has taught you through that servant of His, through His Word. The Spirit of God has taught you. The Spirit of God has been spiritually maturing you and equipping you. And He will continue to do that work through His Word. And you hang on to what you've been taught from Scripture. You cherish what the Spirit of God has taught you and will teach you in the years ahead. And don't forsake it for some fluffing stuff, quick meal spiritually. Nutrition. We push nutrition in the physical diet for our physical body. We've all lived through those times when we've let the appetite control us instead of we control the appetite. I've never preached a sermon on gluttony. You ever wonder why? You don't hear many sermons on gluttony. Maybe we need a few sermons, but I'm not going to preach them. I'm trying to live it. But watch your spiritual appetite. What do you long for? First Peter, we're to long for the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And when you grow, you hang on to that. You live by that. Because that's what it's all about. And what is taught? What did Paul say? After the first 11 verses, and two verses in there, he says that I may know Him. That I may know Him. And the verb, or the noun there, comes from the verb form gnosko. It means to know through experience and through knowledge. Knowledge of whom? Christ. It's all about Christ and knowing Him and following Him. You don't want the good old days. I mean, God used the good old days to get us to where we are today. You want today for what today is. And then as you and I look into the future, we want to stretch. We want to press. We want to go with intent to know Christ and Christ alone. And listen. Listen to the upward call. Let me rephrase that. You listen for the upward call, and then you listen to the upward call. First, you got to hear it. And once you hear it and discern it, and the Spirit of God will give it to you, then you follow it. And you will mature spiritually. That's what you need to do. That's what I need to do. And that's by God's grace I'm going to keep on doing. And by God's grace, you do the same thing. Don't ever forget what God has done and who God is. Look at that anthem the choir sang this morning. I was looking at those words while the choir was singing. What a powerful message about who God is. And that's the God we love and loves us. And that's the God you need to follow. Always shall we pray. Father in heaven, oh, forgive us of our sin of not wanting to know You, not pressing on toward You, not stretching out toward You. We think we know enough and we don't. We don't even come close. Forgive us. Forgive us of thinking we're more spiritually mature than we actually are. We need You, Lord. We need You. And I pray that each of your children this morning, as they listen to you and your message for us, will have a renewed joy and desire in their hearts for you. And you will feed us from your word by your spirit. And we will be rejoicing in what you're doing in us and what you're doing through us. For when we delight in the Lord, then you give us the desires of our heart. And so, Father, continue to move in the hearts of your children here this morning by your Holy Spirit, that we may listen for the upward call, and then we'll listen to the upward call. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Closing hymn is Blessed Assurance That Comes With Faith in Jesus Christ for Salvation. Let us sing this to the Lord as we stand. Remember, press to the upward call of God in your life. And this morning, Tommy's been visiting with us for about 6 months. He's with Brother Brian Mission, and Robert Overton drug him over here once. No, he didn't drag you, did he, Rob? Come on down, Tommy. Tommy met with the elders this morning, and he's received full membership. Don and Sandy, if you'll come and stand. Tommy, it's a blessing to have you, brother. We're looking forward to having you with us. After the benediction, you come by and give Tommy the right hand of fellowship and be praying for him as he is a part of our family, and will be worshiping with us. Thank you, Don and Sandy.
Father in heaven, you're here with us by your Spirit. You're working in this part of your church as you have for 135 years. I praise you and thank you for it. May you continue to work here in a powerful way, for we're all testimonies of what you have accomplished in us, maturing us, keeping us focused on you. And I thank you for Tommy and his faith in you and his walk with you. Protect him from the evil one.
May he continue to grow spiritually as you use him not only at the mission, but wherever you might direct him in a day's activity. Oh, Lord, just bless him and use him in the work of your kingdom. And I pray for each of my brothers and sisters in Christ. May we only hear one voice, and that is your voice in the upward call of Christ Jesus in our lives. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each of you now and forevermore. Amen.